All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You're watching Oilers Nation Radio.
Welcome into Oilers Nation Radio, everybody. A Friday edition of the show. We are going to have all your usual stuff today on the program with our hot and cold performers. We got Ask the Idiots. We got League Notes. Who delivered a delicious debate? But we're going to start today with a little bit of a somber note, as I'm sure a lot of you have heard. By now, we lost one of our teammates over the last 24 hours here with the passing of Robin Brownlee, senior writer with the website and a guy who had been on the Oilers beat forever and doing a hell of a job of it. So we just wanted to start the show by first off passing along our condolences to his friends and family. And I mean, hey, considering we were all friends of Robin as well, sharing a little bit about what we loved about him. Bagged Milk, I'm going to let you go first. I know you have a piece coming up on the website and you did a great job yesterday on Better Late Than Never talking about what Robin meant to you, but I'll let you lead us off here as we remember our teammate.
He was the best. I loved Robin. He was great from the first time. And I'm writing a piece about him on for Sunday. So it's going to go into his usual off the top of my head slot on Sunday morning on the website. And it's going to be fun to kind of talk about his life and what he meant to me and kind of take you behind the scenes on dealing with him. He was great. Sometimes he was a crusty old fuck, but that was part of the reason I loved him the most. He was bitter. He was angry, but he also had a heart of gold and he was a big softy. And sometimes you got the claws when you poke the bear a little bit. And as I got used to dealing with Robin and just experiencing that and having a good time with him, I really grew to enjoy when he would get angry, because it wasn't ever angry at an individual. He was always angry at situations, and that always made me laugh, because I would like to slide in a joke and try and make him laugh when he was mad. And then sometimes I would get him and it would diffuse the whole situation. And it was fun. I had so many good interactions with him over the last 10 years that we got to work together. That tough news yesterday, really tough news, not just for, you know, sports fans in Edmonton, but for everybody that got a chance to know him personally, because while there was a gruff exterior, he was the nicest man. And I think that that's the point I wanted to get across in the piece that I'm writing for Sunday, is we all knew him from what you read in newspapers and on the website, but ultimately behind the scenes, he was a really great supportive man that just always wanted the best for everybody that he worked with. And I think that that's part of the reason I'm going to remember him most. And outside of that, he was just my favorite sports writer. He always was. And you know, that's, He was one person that no matter what he wrote, I was always going to read it. So at OilersNation.com, he wrote over 2,000 articles, and I'd be stunned if I didn't read all of them. So he was a huge part of the team. Frankly, the five of us wouldn't be talking into microphones about the Oilers right now if Robin hadn't joined ON back in 2007. He was the first person to join the website that added any sense of legitimacy to it. With no Robin, there's no Gregor. And with no Robin and Gregor, this thing doesn't turn into what it is today. And I think that's important to remember that. Robin took a chance. He took Wanya and Jay's call back in the day when nobody really knew what blogging was. And he kind of took a leap of faith and joined us and started building Oilers Nation into what it is now. And obviously, there's a massive hole on the website and for all of us that knew him. But it's hard not to think about Robin and just be grateful for all the great stuff he did for us and the opportunities that he paved the way for. And like I said, I was just very, very grateful that I got a chance to work with him and just learn as much as I possibly could over the last 10 years.
Yeah, the Nation would not be what it is if it wasn't for a guy like Robin. Like you said, BM, taking a chance on the early days of the company. Dan, I'll let you go next.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I have a little bit of regret with the loss of Robin. The last interaction that him and I had wasn't great. He challenged me on something and I didn't like it. And I kind of walked away from it. And the loss of Robin is just a good reminder to don't leave those things unsaid. Because Robin was, you know, like Bag Milk said, he was a guy that he always had that opinion, and man, was he going to stick to it. And he challenged you on stuff. And, you know, I loved him for it. And I appreciated the few interactions that we did get to have through social media. And then meeting him in person, you just got to really see the family guy that he was. And that's I think the toughest part of this is that he's leaving behind two young guys that he just loved and a wife that he adored. So yeah, it's a tough day, like Bag Milk said, and a huge loss for Oilers Nation. And I hope that everybody's listening to this can really understand, like Bag Milk said there, and really just kind of hold on to that if it weren't for Robin, we wouldn't be here. So yeah, it's a huge loss.
Rick, I mean, not just Robin Brownlee, but we also lost John Short over the last couple of days, and you are about as diehard as they come in the Edmonton sports landscape. So these are probably a couple of guys you spent a lot of time reading and listening to.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, to be honest with you, I've never been the biggest reader. I know I went through the Sun every day when I was a kid, and the paper came out, and that's how you kind of got your news every day. So I flipped through everything, got through. I didn't necessarily have a big fan when it came to reading. I didn't have a big fan or a writer, but I listened to John Short every night before I went to bed. So, I mean, all over Twitter, everyone's telling the exact same story. Hey, you know, I went to bed listening to him and whatever. Robin, though, I don't believe I actually got to meet him. I may have met him once or twice at one of the Nation parties doing whatever. But for the most part, I knew him through probably the Low Tide show back when 1260 was still a thing. I'm a little old school, so I still like the whole, you know, sit down on the carpet and listen to story time. So anytime those old guys who love to tell stories, and he was a great storyteller and he had a lot of stories to tell. So anytime one of those guys want to sit down and, you know, just kind of go over their memories or whatever, I'll be the first one to sit there with a glass of water and listen. So, yeah, no, it's been a tough day. I've understood that, you know, everything you guys have gone through and knowing him closer and BM probably knowing him better than everybody else. But, yeah, it was a tough day in Edmonton in general.
You know when you met him? You know when you met him? Over. You know when you met him is when we had, I think it might have been the RIP DOD party we threw, or maybe it was...
I think I remember...
It was the one where Jeff Drew and Delorier was there.
One of the two of the parties. And
it was when JDD was there.
Yeah, he brought Jeff Drew and Delorier to one of our parties, and he was just hanging out with Brownlee, and then we were making Brownlee sign people's Oilers jerseys, which made him very uncomfortable because...
he doesn't come off as a guy who's going to enjoy a lot of that kind of attention.
He hated it. We're like, Brownlee, we want you to sign this guy's jersey. He's like, I'm not doing that. I'm like, we all did it. He goes, you're idiots. And that was the best part about him is he would just tell you off and then you would just begrudgingly go along with it anyway.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the old guys. He kind of fit that mold. So they their harsh words really don't sit too hard on me. I kind of understand where it's coming from and get that stuff. So I kind of just sit back and enjoy it.
I'm sorry, I'm just jumping in all over the place. But like in the thing I'm writing for Sunday, it starts off by... one of my favorite quotes from Brownlee. He insults me right to my face, but the way he did it was just, I didn't take offense to it because it was Brownlee. And I always thought it was hilarious. And the fact that in my Twitter, not my Twitter, in my email signature from my Bag Milk email, it always says mediocre writer at Oilers Nation. And he would reply sometimes with mediocre writer, you wish, or it's good to have goals, or it's good to like strive for something. So he was always hilarious in that way. But at the same point, if my writing has ever improved over the last 10 years, a big part of it is because of the notes that he would send me.
Liam, I'll let you go last. We got to have him on our show a couple of times throughout this season, and he was always a pleasure to sit back and, like you said, Rick, hear the stories he had to tell.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I never got the chance to meet Robin, but I guess just from hearing the stories the last couple of days about him, I'm very grateful of the fact that he took the opportunity to make Oilers Nation of what it is today. Like BM said, like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. And just an English guy that loves hockey that found a hockey website. And it sounds like if it wasn't for Robin Brownlee, then this opportunity wouldn't be here. And I think it's cool too, to hear the stories that Gregor told yesterday. Like, the one that really stood out to me was specifically that Robin would send him a message on Father's Day saying Happy Father's Day, and just all these other things. Like, he would never text people. He would only DM people, which I think was very funny of him to do. So yeah, I'll miss having him on our show and reading his stuff on Oilers Nation. He seemed like a very unique person that's going to be missed daily.
Yeah, 100%. So, I mean, we've had a ton of tributes to Robin, and I think you especially, Bag Milk, I got a chance to read the piece you're going to put out on Sunday. It was incredibly well done. Better late than never. We did a real life as well as we remember a teammate that's no longer with us. It's never easy to transition out of that kind of a topic. So like I said, we are going to get into all of the regularly scheduled programming here on the show. But first, we're going to step aside for a quick break.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right, let's get into things. It is the Delicious Debate, and it is brought to you by Wendy's. The bacon portobello mushroom melt is back, Rick. BPMM, I know that's your favorite stat, but it's only back for a limited time. Also, maybe you could be winning a prize like that bacon portobello mushroom melt if you play the Daily Faceoff Survivor game over at dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. Is anybody still alive this week?
I was way early.
Yeah, Tage Thompson did not guide me to victory this week.
So it looks like I'm the only one left still kicking heading into the weekend. Yeah. If you think you can go 4 for 4, head to dailyfaceoffsurvivor.com. And hey, you know what, guys? I'll throw some chirps your way. You're all losers when it comes to the game, but you can be winners come dinner time by downloading the Wendy's app and picking up Wendy's rewards points. Here's our delicious debate for the day, and it is this. Boys, it's a 9-game heater. We're running out of fingers. We're going to lose count right away. I want you to predict, and it's morbid, when will the Oilers winning streak end? Dan?
That's so gross to make us do right off the bat here. I got to look at the schedule because it's not Montreal that we're losing to. So
Toronto, I got Seattle, Calgary.
Yeah. So you got Montreal Saturday, 2-day break, Sunday, Monday, and then they're back home against Toronto, then Seattle, then Calgary next week. And then following that, they've got Columbus, they've got Chicago, and they've got Nashville to round out the month.
All right. I'll just bite the bullet and say they're losing to Toronto, and then it's the start of another 8-game or 9-game win streak.
Rick, are you even going to give me an answer?
Yeah, I don't like that question. I won't lie to you. The Tuesday game kind of scares me, but yeah, and I really, the last two games kind of say maybe the slides cut, or maybe it's coming to a bit of an end here. And maybe, you know, the Saturday game, they're kind of looking at Tuesday ahead of time, but I think you got Saturday in Montreal. I think they're going to be locked in for that. I think they're actually going to be locked in for Toronto. I can see maybe the Seattle one or the Columbus one, maybe Nashville, but I don't see them losing to Calgary, Toronto, or Montreal, to be honest with you.
I don't think they're losing to Montreal. I'm in agreement with you guys on that. I'm going to say, oh man, it's a tough one, but I might do Seattle on Wednesday. They usually get up for these Thursday. Leafs games. I wouldn't be surprised if they won. Sorry, Thursday. Liam, what's your pick?
Yeah, I kind of looking at Seattle game too. There was a lot of emotion in the Red Wings game, I think, just because of how frustrating it was that they couldn't score more earlier in the game. Then the Montreal game is always a tough one when you go to the Bell Center, but I think they'll win. I think they'll put a lot of energy in the Toronto game too, and I think maybe they'll just kind of, the flame might die out a little bit for the Seattle game, especially with Calgary coming up too. There's a lot on the line in all of these games, I feel like, so it's going to, I don't know, but that Seattle game just feels like the one.
Bagged Milk, you're the last one to go. We've got a couple of different answers so far. When do you think this winning streak ends?
February 17th against the Dallas Stars. It's a matinee on the road. I don't like it.
So just for the record, I think that going to the Kraken would be the record for the Oilers, right?
No, tomorrow would be. They've never had a 10-game winning streak in their history.
But there is some. We did have a home winning streak of like 14 or so, I think. But that's obviously a little bit different.
For the record, if the Oilers were to lose against Dallas, that would be a 21-game win streak.
Yeah,
I would not be overly surprised if they get through the rest of the month.
I wouldn't either.
Are they in the President's Trophy conversation if they win 21 games in a row?
No, buddy, they're running away with it.
That would be some. All right. So I should have known that I wouldn't get great answers on that one. So then let's take a positive angle at what we've seen over the last 9 games. And let me throw you a second version of the delicious debate. And it's a simple one. What's been the most surprising part of this 9-game run? If I could take an easy one right off the bat, it's that Calvin Pickard has come in for a handful of these and delivered quality starts. Even if the numbers aren't great, like last night against Detroit, the fact the Oilers are getting reliable goaltending from the dude who started the year as the third string has been awesome. I'll flip the script. Bagged Milk, what's been the most surprising part for you?
I think that they're winning games that they would have absolutely lost earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. Tuesday against Chicago, they should have blown out Chicago. But at the same point, it also felt like a trap game where you go into that one with the expectation that it's going to be like 8-9-1 or something, and they still managed to find a way to squeak it out. You know, there was 2 disallowed goals in that game. Certainly they would have helped, but it didn't matter. They still found a way to win anyway. Last night in Detroit, same thing. Alex Lyon threw 40 minutes, looked like Dominic Hasek, and yet the Oilers still found a way to win on a night where it looked like things were not going their way. I mean, the tying goal late in the game bounced in off Darnell Nurse's leg. Well, I guess bounced into the crease and then just laid there and then it went in. I was like, oh man, there it goes. That's the end of the win streak. But then Nurse came back and won it in OT and they found a way. So I think finding a way to win games that we think maybe they shouldn't or things are going against them and still winning anyway, that's a nice surprise for me.
Liam, you're next.
Yeah, I like that one. I was going to kind of go something along those lines too. I'll say most impressive part of the win streak. What game did this win streak start?
One.
Was it the Devils?
Yeah, the Devils.
The Devils.
What is the most impressive? I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I know it's a terrible answer, but like, I think the goaltending has been the most surprising part. Like Stuart Skinner has been arguably in his best form as an Oilers goaltender, right? I think that's not saying I didn't expect Skinner to be good, but he's been really, really good. And that game against the Rangers was probably his worst game, if we even want to label it as that. But he just allowed two late goals, and one of them was like with 0.01 seconds left or whatever it was.
Yeah. Rick, what about you? What stands out when you look back at the last nine games?
You know what I was gonna say? I'm not terribly surprised. Like, I'm happy they're doing it. There might be a couple names on the roster right now that I'm more surprised than seeing them put together a 7-8 game winning streak, 9-game, whatever 10 it's about to be. This is not the beginning of the year is not what this team is. This team is what we've seen since pretty much November 11th on. That's what this team is. That's what everyone expected it to be coming into this season. The beginning of the season is what it is. You know, it's over. It's done with. There was a lot of weird shit happened then. But so this is the team that I expect us to be all season long. The fact that, you know, James Hamblin's in the lineup right now is pretty surprising. And the fact he's, you know, he's sticking in the lineup as long as he has. The backup goaltender by name, surprising by results. I kind of expected whoever the backup goaltender was going to be to kind of do that. That's kind of what you expect out of a Stanley Cup caliber team. I thought Jack would have jumped back into the game a bit and had a bit of a better season, but it is what it is. We're getting the numbers out of a different name. That's all it is. Other than that, though, I'm enjoying this, but it's our record right now is still probably a little bit less than what I expected to be at the beginning of the season. So as much as it's fun and everything and surprising or whatever, it's a golf clap right now and move on to the next game because we still have some road to make up.
Yeah, a little bit. The fact that they've won, I mean, whatever, 17 of their last 20 games or whatever, and they're still only sitting in a wild card spot is quite something. Dan, I'll let you wrap this one up.
Well, for me, I think you guys touched on it with different answers there, but it's the defensive efforts altogether. The penalty kill has been stellar, only allowing two power play goals in my quick math there I was doing on the fly. I think that there's all those things above, and just overall the team is just not allowing outside of last night's power or penalty kill, which was, I think they just kind of threw up a wing and a prayer on a couple of those, hoping that the guys wouldn't score from the points or the corners. But the defensive effort overall for me has just been, it's just been noticeable and better. So yeah, they, as much as they aren't maybe necessarily scoring the goals that they should be against the Chicagos and the Detroits of the world, they're not allowing the chances for those teams as well.
There you go. That is our delicious debate brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Face-Off Survivor game. We've had a couple of hockey games to talk about since our last podcast on Tuesday. Victories over the Chicago Blackhawks and the Detroit Red Wings. Two dubs. It feels good. So let's get to Who Delivered, brought to you by DoorDash. For a limited time, our Canadian listeners can get 25% off and no delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. That's 25% off up to a $10 value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the app in the App Store and enter the code NATION25. DoorDash has so many options. Sometimes picking just one, it can be a little difficult, which is why the new Double Dash feature is as elite as it is. It lets you add an additional order from another restaurant with no extra delivery fee or order minimum. So when you order pizza, you can add a bubble tea. When you order tacos, you can add ice cream to the end of that order. And it's all possible because of the new Double Dash feature. Who Delivered? Well, I'll really mix up the order here. Liam, I'll let you go first. The Oilers got 5 goals over the last 2 games from 4 different goal scorers. So there are some names to pick from.
Well, before I get to my Who Delivered, I would like to let everybody know that I used DoorDash last night and had I got Earl's. I had the Cajun chicken sandwich. Very nice. Yeah, it's very bougie of me. So I used the Nation 25 code and it was delicious and nutritious, I believe. But who delivered for me? I will say Connor McDavid. I'll just take the easy layup. Last night, Connor McDavid's goal was basically everything the Oilers needed and more. It was incredible. Shout out to Jake Walman again for basically just standing there, pretending that the game had stopped and put his hand in the air, claiming for offside. So thanks for that, Jake Walman. Go gritty somewhere else. And Connor McDavid, my man who delivered.
Dan, I'll let you go second. What do you got? Who delivered for you over the last 6 and a bit periods of Oilers hockey?
Plain and simple, it's Zach Hyman. He just continues to be absolute fire on his stick. The puck is in the back of the net. It's consistent. He is driving this team, and he continues to become a fan favorite around the city.
Yeah, and he had more goals disallowed than goals that actually ended up in the back of the net. So he's back to his usual tricks from last season. Bagged Milk, who delivered?
I'm going to give some love to somebody who never gets any love outside of this podcast or a handful of people out there. And it's the guy who got the OT winner, Darnell Nurse. A lot of people were blaming him for a puck taking an unlucky bounce off his leg and sitting in the crease on the tying goal. And what did the hockey gourds do? They come back and they bless us with a Darnell OT winner to right the ship. That's just good sports right there. It was the result we deserved. I mean, it took a little bit longer to get there than we maybe thought, but Darnell Nurse was great last night. He played 22:52, scored the OT winner, had two PIMs, his only shot on goal went in the net. And I just think he's playing some really good hockey this season. So I'm going to give some love to Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, man. The people who were hating on him, I said this on Owen every day, and it's going to come across as maybe a little arrogant or whatever. But if you're still talking shit about Darnell Nurse, you don't know hockey. You aren't watching the games. It's simple as that. So I love that you give him some love there, Bagged Milk. Rick, who delivered?
Well, Bagged Milk took my guy. But listen, when you got nine in a row and two like this, it's pretty easy to pick pretty much anybody on the team. So I'm just going to close my eyes, throw a dart here, and it hit Nuge. What he did around the net there last night in order to get that puck to Hyman for that goal was pretty special. The dude is out there 5-on-5 on our best line. The dude is out there 5-on-4 on our best PP. The dude is out there 4-on-5 in our best PK. He does everything on the ice right now. He's got a real nice contract, and he's going to go wire to wire as an Edmonton Oiler. So we're going to just give it to the big man, Nuge.
I really wanted to see him tune up Maury Sider last night. I don't think that Sider knew what he was stepping into. I really wanted it to happen. Liam made a hilarious joke during the live stream where he was just like, Justin Wall could have gone over to him and been like, I don't think you want that smoke, my guy.
I'm going to give my who delivered to just the team as a whole, but for one sort of specific thing, and it's team defense. Their commitment to making life easy on the goaltenders. This is not something we were seeing earlier in the year. In the last two games, the Oilers penalty kill 6-for-6. That is awesome. That's good numbers. You win one goal or tie games. Like, you win these games because your special teams, specifically your PK, were very, very good. But also, the Oilers have blocked 40 shots in the last two games. You want to talk about having goalies who are putting up good numbers? When you got five Chris Russells in front of you at all points, which is basically what it seems like right now, 40 block shots in two games is a significant number. So the Oilers' commitment to team defense is going to be my who delivered for this one.
I think we had 18 blocks in the first two periods yesterday. I think I saw a stat between periods, and we were up 18-10 on them for block shots.
May I give an honorable mention? Tyler? Would that be okay? Rick, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure Vincent Desharnais came up a year ago yesterday, right?
I think his first game was a year ago yesterday. He came up a couple days before that.
So I'll give an honorable year-long who delivered to Vincent Desharnais. I think he's been healthy scratched maybe once or twice throughout his duration of being an Oiler. And I'll admit, I think there's been points where I've thought he should have been out of the lineup, but he's progressively just got better from a guy who was just a glassing out kind of guy to a guy who can actually make some plays now. He's come a long way. So shout out to Vinny and just his career path in general. Somebody posted a picture. He's like, how is a guy who had 5 points in his draft year in the BCHL now an everyday NHLer? But he's figured out a way to do it.
Hard work. Grinds, man.
Yeah, it is.
He's going to be down. He's going to be kept down a couple of dollars here after tomorrow's game.
He's noticeably better with the puck on his stick too. Like, I don't know what he worked on over the offseason, but like, he is noticeably better with his decision making when the puck's on his stick.
Rick, can you explain what you just said?
Oh, he's going home.
He's going to Montreal. Going
he's going to be playing in his hometown. He's
got he's up on the board.
He's got some friends and family. He's got to fork over for, I think, somewhere in the vicinity of 23-25 tickets. He's got to fork out for tomorrow
at the Bell Center too. That ain't cheap.
No, it's on a Saturday night, man.
It's a contract year for him, right?
He's a UFA.
UFA. I mean, I didn't know they're obviously going to keep him, but I'm very curious how much they actually pay him. Probably only like 1.1 million, something like that. But I mean,
I saw a thing the other day that they went through our whole roster and said, this is what they're getting paid. This is what the market should be paying them. And then, you know, we were up or down. I think they had him at like 3.1, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't really know. I would say this. So coming into this season, I expected like a 1 year contract. Where we're sitting right now, I'm expecting to see a 3 to 4 year contract.
An offer, at least.
$3 million?
I think that's what it might have been, $2 million. I really don't remember. I don't even remember who put it out there, but I think it was like blah 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 according to Dom. So I think it was LeCision who did it, but I don't really remember. But yeah, they had him. We were definitely winning this contract with him.
Wow.
If that number starts with a 2, I might be a little bit nervous. He could price himself out of Edmonton, if we're being honest.
Starts with a 2?
I don't know if you could pay Vinny. I don't know if they can afford to pay Vinny 2.2 or 2.5 next year.
What if you get, like, I mean, so everything is going to be going up, right? By $5 million every year for probably the next 4 years easily.
But it all goes to Connor Brown.
Can we defer the money to 2034?
Well, that's just it. Yeah, Tyler, can you get on the rule book and see if we can't defer things?
I mean, yeah, that might be what it takes. Or, I mean, again, we're on a 9-game winning streak. I hate talking about negative storylines, but like,
I have a question actually before we move on too much from Connor Brown. Just a hypothetical, throw this one in the air. So the others right now are 390,000 in cap space, right? So that would mean that they could take 390,000 off the Connor Brown bonus.
Correct.
If hypothetically they sent down at the end of the season Ernie, Holloway, Kemp, just those three guys, for example, that saves you a lot of money. Does that then change that? You know what I mean? Or when does the cutoff happen?
I agree
because if there's no game that day, if you're not trying to get a game in or a full roster,
send them down.
All of them.
I assume we're going to get a DM here from Original Pozar as he's going to dive into the math on this one. I'm curious to know the answer on it.
I can't wait to wake up from a DM from OP tomorrow explaining this perfectly.
I just have no idea the answer to your question, but I like the logic you're going with.
Last game of the year, we are all playing. We're getting $700 just to play the game. And anybody who's able to go down is going down.
Oh, I wonder if it is the last game of the season, because that's when the cap would be, right? That's when the cap technically ends for the year. Oh, I wonder if something happens and, like, hopefully not, but like one of our like expensive players is like injured for whatever reason on our LTIR, and all of a sudden you have all this cap.
Mark Stone? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
Help.
I think if you're an LTIR, it doesn't help you with bonus overages. No, it doesn't. I want to say that.
I think that you stop accruing then, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. And do we know for sure if we trade him that
the
bonus sticks with us?
Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately, yeah.
That is interesting. If the last game of the season, all of a sudden, Dylan Holloway is in Bakersfield, and so is, like, I don't know, whoever the seventh defenseman is at the time, that does free up like $2 million of cap.
But listen, if you start next season, you can have Lavoie could easily be in the system, Broberg could easily be in the system, and if Broberg's playing, you're probably talking Kulak out, right? So that's $2 million there, I think, in difference. You bring in Lavoie, he's gonna be playing at the 850.
Are you saying that moving out Kulak and having
I'm just saying, like, Vinny getting, like, say, just even $2 million next year might be doable, with the assumption that Lavoie comes in and plays, and then somebody probably at 2.75, Fogel's most likely gone. I don't really know, but I would. Derek Ryan's going to come off the books, or Sam Gagne, one of the two. Derek Ryan can go down to Bakersfield. Who knows? It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? This does kind of tie into the next thing I wanted to talk about today on the show. So let's get into our league notes brought to you by Booster Juice. 7 days from now, Bagged Milk and I are going to be out and playing in the Tourism Jasper Pond Hockey Tournament. Not only do we need to give a big shout out to Tourism Jasper, but we're going to be on Team Oilers Nation, and we are going to be fueled by Booster Juice. Download the Booster Rewards app today to start earning berry points for delicious and nutritious smoothies, drinks, and food that will get you through the day. And we're going to be relying on Booster Juice to get us through the Tourism Jasper Pond Hockey Tournament. All right, league notes. I'm going to start with one that's not so much a league note. It's an Oilers note, but Leon Draisaitl did a sit down with Mark Spector the other day to talk about his upcoming contract. And while there really wasn't a whole lot said in that piece, today we had Spector on ON Every Day. And he said one of his takeaways after chatting with Draisaitl is that, hey, his next contract maybe isn't going to be an 8-year deal. Maybe Draisaitl's the kind of guy to maximize his earning throughout his career will sit down and go, hey, I'm going to sign a 2-year contract and just see where we're at in a couple of seasons as well. So I'll throw this out to the group. I don't know if anyone wants to start with it, maybe bag milk. A 2-year deal for Draisaitl. Would you be open to that if you're the Oilers, or would you be pushing hard for 8?
Pushing hard for 8, obviously, but if he is willing to re-sign here, you find a way to make it work. If he wants to maximize his income and wait for the salary cap, like Rick suggested, is going to shoot up here, then I don't mind that at all. As long as he's in an Oilers uniform, frankly, I don't care how much money he makes. I gave props to Darnell Nurse earlier. Everybody cares how much money he makes. I am not one of those people. Go get your bread, son. As long as it's in Edmonton, I don't care what the deal is or what the number looks like.
Anyone else opposed to the idea of a 2-year deal? Rick, do you want to see him locked up? There are some benefits, I think, to going with a 2-year deal, 2 or 3.
I mean, yeah, sure. There are some benefits, but the odds are those are going to end up falling in your favor, probably slimmer. So, yeah, no, I'm going to sit here and try and get him locked up long term, which means you got to hold on to a couple of your prospects right now, just so there is like a team to be selling him when it comes time for the contract up.
Rick, if Leon goes, I'm not signing an 8-year deal, I will sign a 2 or 3 year deal max with the Oilers, I'm happy to do it.
Signing that contract as fast as possible.
All right, so we're on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's not really a great argument against it. Like, Dan, whatever Leon wants, you give to him, right? Like, there's no point where you go, oh no, we're not going to go re-up Draisaitl because we're scared of buying out Evander Kane or something.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's just the only thing for the Oilers is just optics of, you know, every year that you don't get extra of Draisaitl is 1 year maybe you don't get extra of McDavid. And that's as an Oilers fan, I'm pushing for 8 years plus, whatever he wants to be here for, let's do it. But yeah, I mean, I see the logic from the player's perspective. I just don't want to have to go there mentality.
I think it's even a risk from the player's perspective, man. You never know what can happen. You play that second year, and you get an injury. Who knows?
Doesn't matter to them.
It'd be so hard to turn down a $100 million contract.
The contracts after that are going to make your number get way above that $100 million. And that's what I think Draisaitl, McDavid, they all see the other leagues, you know, exploding, and contracts are just exploding everywhere.
Yeah, that's
the NFL can only hold that back.
That's a different story there. I think maybe the guy in charge has to go because we have fallen so far behind the big three. But yeah, that's a completely other topic.
But it has to start to come up into the players' conversations when it comes to contract negotiations. They don't want to get locked into anything too long term and then have a big shift happen. And you've got deferred contracts in 2035.
So you say don't sign the 8 right now because in 4, the TV contract go through the roof and all of a sudden you've got the Derek Ryans, you know, that's not even a great one. I'm trying to figure out these guys that are getting $50 million in the NBA I've never heard of.
Yeah.
I just think business-wise, it's a reality coming for us.
I don't see that possibility happening anytime soon. Like, just shooting up the way the NBA has, I understand what you mean. I wouldn't be overly fearful of it right now. I would love to see it as a hockey fan. But as just like sitting back watching things and the way things are progressing, I'd be astonished to see us get some sort of TV contract the way the NBA got.
Liam, you want to have the closing thoughts here?
My closing thoughts.
This is my thesis.
This is my thesis, yes. I think it's an interesting situation. I think ultimately he'll sign the long-term deal, but if he signs 4 years, I don't think it's the end of the world. At the end of the day, I think there'll always be the narrative, and it's similar to what Austin Matthews has done in Toronto too, where it's, oh, he doesn't want to be there. Well, if he didn't want to be there, he wouldn't sign a 4-year deal. at the end of the day. Like, he's just kind of looking out for himself on that side of things. So I, as long as he signs a contract, I honestly do not care how long it is. Just please do not leave us, Leon. Please.
That's where I'm at too.
We have an answer from original Pozar. Oh, Liam, nice. You said if the Oilers sent down Holloway and Ernie, for example, on the last game of the season, would that extra cap space take money off the Brown bonus next season? He said, technically, yes, but not really.
What does that mean? What the hell does that mean?
He knows this league too well. He knows that they would rule against us in whatever arbitration we would have to go to after that.
Technically, yes, but not really.
It would reduce the overall year-end cap hit by approximately 1/200th of each player's cap hit.
Yeah, that was the part I was not understanding. It doesn't drop.
Oh, the cap. So it's only their salary for the day, not like
That makes sense, because I remember one time having Hart from Puckpedia on one of the shows. I don't remember which one it was. And he talked about, I think I'm just going to throw a date out, but it's pretty close, that they get paid on 188 or 187 day pay scale. And every day is its own kind of cap accrual day, I think.
Just
he's saying.
So if you sent him down, the only money you would save is the money you had to pay him that day. So $750,000 divided by 187 or whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, something like that.
Damn it. Well, there goes my genius idea right out of the window.
Stick to scouting. So, you're not quite a GM yet.
Yeah. Liam, go work.
You're saying that the team isn't even trying if they aren't just sending guys down every single day for the rest of the season.
Yeah, like there's no one playing today. Why not send these guys down? We need to save money for today.
That's so interesting. So yeah, so Holloway would have to be down for a week, hypothetically, for it to even have any damage to it, right?
Yeah.
Kinda. Send him down. Wow. Dylan, thank you very much, but you're in Bakersfield for the year. We also only need 11 forwards and 5 defensemen and 1 goalie now.
Can we please tell people on Twitter to stop saying bring up Holloway now? He still hasn't played a game down there.
First line center.
If no one, that's if the pipes don't burst again.
Yeah. All right.
Tyler, did you see the video of the burst pipes in Bakersfield?
It was crazy.
That was actually nuts. We kind of made fun of it, being like, oh, it's probably just like a Zamboni thing. No, that was actually crazy.
That was in Coachella.
Yes, San Diego. It was in San Diego.
San Diego, yeah. Pechanga Arena.
It was nuts. Mid-shin level.
Yeah.
Really? I got to check this out.
Bakersfield tweeted out last week. It was special. Special.
All right. The other league headline that kind of ties into the Oilers right now is the story out of Columbus that Elvis Merzlikins has kind of said, hey, I haven't requested a trade, but he's saying the Blue Jackets and I are going to work on finding me a new home. Merzlikins says he believes he is a starting goalie. Columbus apparently appears ready to move on. They have Daniil Tarasov coming up through their system right now. Elvis Merzlikins is a $5.4 million cap hit for 3 more seasons after this one. So his contract is identical to Jack Campbell in length, but it's $400,000 more. While I agree he's probably a better goalie, my point would be not by that much. He is better. I don't want it to sound like I'm trying to, you know, say Jack Campbell's equal to him or anything. For me, I pass because I don't think it's worth getting rid of Jack Campbell just to bring on another expensive backup. Dan, what do you think?
If you're giving me the opportunity at this moment to swap Merzlikins for Jack Campbell and not much more, I take that deal every day, just based on age, just based on potential. I would do that in an instant. That sucks for Jack Campbell, but the Edmonton Oilers, you just have the better goalie. And you're right, Tyler, it's not by much, but it's enough that I would make that move.
Rick?
I don't think so, man. I want somebody better in making this move. I think Merzlikins is still a bit of a question mark long term. Like, you really don't know what you have with him. Like, there's highs and there's lows. And to be honest, I don't see him being that much different than say like Korpisalo 2 years ago when we were in this talk. So if I'm anybody, I'm looking at getting an older guy for like, even if I got Elvis for 1 year for the rest of this season, then I'd look at it and reevaluate your goaltending situation in the summer. but I don't want to lock down again with another 3 years of him knowing that he might do a Jack Campbell-esque thing, or like maybe not as bad, but maybe, you know, he gets outplayed by Olivier Rodrigue in a season and a half, and all of a sudden he's down there anyway. So if we're making a move for a goaltender, I'm probably this season looking at a guy with 1 to 2 years max left on his deal. And after that, I don't know, man. I don't think I'm moving this. I don't think I'm doing it for Elvis. And he's not a backup. He's going to come here. He's going to be in a battle, but he could easily be a backup.
Liam,
and he's got a 10 team no trade, right? So we might even be on there. This might even be moved.
Hopefully we're on that list, because I would also not trade for Elvis Merzlikins for Jack Campbell. I just think you're just pushing your problem down the road of another goalie. And like, I think Merzlikins ultimately is obviously a better goalie than Jack Campbell. I think everyone in the league is a better goalie than Jack Campbell right now, unfortunately. But I just don't think the juice isn't worth the squeeze that much, right? Like, Pickard's been good. I just don't think you don't need to put another problem in your lineup. Then the Oilers need to find solutions.
And we problems. Legit can't afford it right now.
We legit cannot afford problems. Yes.
What do we say? We have 300 and what left?
Yeah.
390,000. Unless we send Holloway down for a day, so, and that's 391.
Go fund me to find 10 grand to afford this. We're doing the whole right at the ceiling again.
Yeah. Bag Milk, do you have any interest in Merzlikins if there's a Campbell involved going the other way?
I don't think so, but at the same point, I'm looking at Merzlikins' numbers right now. He's a 907 on a terrible Columbus team, and Jack Campbell is 893 in the AHL. So
I shouldn't laugh. That's so bad.
So, I mean, if it's a straight across swap, I'd be open to the conversation. I guess I'm a little bit more open to it than maybe you guys are, but like, it's not my preferable situation for sure. But I do know that Elvis Merzlikins' numbers objectively are better than Jack Campbell's in the league above where Jack Campbell is playing.
If we're
going to have to spend assets to get rid of Jack Campbell, if that is the goal, just because we do not want him, if it's a 1-for-1 swap, I'd be more open to it than maybe you guys are. Because otherwise, what do you have to pay to get rid of them, to get rid of that cap entirely? We heard it's 2 first-round picks. That's a lot, especially we're talking about Leon's extension, Connor's extension, Bouchard's going to need extension. You're going to need younger players that can come and contribute on entry-level deals. It's a lot. If the goal really is to get rid of Jack Campbell, a 1-for-1 swap for a guy like Elvis Merzlikins, who's outperforming him at a much worse team, I don't know. It might not be the worst thing. I would generally say no, but I feel like there's also needed to be an element of devil's advocate here on this conversation.
I'm right there with you, Bag Milk. And like, I just, for me, it's like, I think as a panel, we all agree that Jack Campbell is not going to be an Edmonton Oiler for the rest of this season. Yeah. Do we all think that about Elvis Merzlikins? Because there's a chance that he could be. And like, to me, it's you've got an asset in Bakersfield that is zero null for you, and Merzlikins could be something. I don't know. It seems wild to me to say no, but I hear what you guys are saying.
It's the could be that scares me. That's why if we're going to make a goaltender,
but we're saying that Jack Campbell is not.
Yeah, sure. Jack, I'm not even talking about Jack Campbell. Like, yeah, I'm very comfortable right now from today till closer to the deadline. Rolling Skinner and Picard.
So I agree that like he's an upgrade on Campbell. If it was straight across and for whatever reason Columbus was like, yeah, sure, like we just want to swap problem for problem, I'm in. My fear is like Columbus is going to sit there and go, ooh, well, we think Merzlikins is worth a second or a third, and getting rid of Jack Campbell for you guys is worth something. So it's Campbell in a first round pick for Merzlikins. And if that was the play, I would just be going to San Jose and being like, here's two firsts and Jack Campbell. Give us Blackwood. We get a better goalie, a younger goalie, a cheaper goalie, and Campbell's off the books. But I do agree, like, you guys raise a good point. Like, if Columbus is just willing to do it, then yeah, like, I like Merzlikins more than I like Jack Campbell, obviously.
Do you like him more than Picard?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. Like, Merzlikins is capable of going on a hot run and being a 920 goalie for a bit. Picard's capable of going on a hot run and being a competent NHL goalie, but he's not capable of being a 920 guy for a long stretch.
I just think, again, like, they've got a little bit of Columbus is bad. They've been very bad. And Merzlikins' numbers is he's still got a 907, which is also better than what Picard's got with the Oilers this year. So, I mean, like, again, if it's one-on-one, one-for-one straight across, I'd be more open to it. But if you have to add in a first, then absolutely not. No.
That's the thing. I guess, yes, Merzlikins is a good goalie, but the fact that you would have to add to the deal. I don't see a scenario where Columbus is going to be like, yes, take out a half decent goalie for your really bad goalie.
Well, I'd rather do a thing, something where you put Bergeau and Campbell and eat half of Campbell's salary and try and bring somebody back. Like, I think there's just other opportunities to be made here.
Agreed. Ah, January 12th, and we're still talking about trying to get rid of Jack Campbell. Feels good. There you go. That's your League Note segment brought to you by Booster Juice. Let's get to Ask the Idiots for Alberta Blue Cross, protecting you and your memories wherever your travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel. For more information, maybe you want to get in on the Nation Vacation, which of course is brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. Man, the Nation Vacation is going to be a good time. We got a month left, or 5 weeks left, until we are on the road heading to Zona Hockey Hotel. Your flights, it's all included when you order through nationgear.ca. We also have a flightless option available for just $9.99. Come on down to the Mullet Arena to take in Edmonton versus Arizona with all of us. It will be a guaranteed good time, and it's all brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross. I got some Ask the Idiots questions here, gentlemen, so let's not waste any time. Christopher Palmer is in with a Nation Vacation brought to you by Alberta Blue Cross question for you, where he says we get to see the Oilers in a teeny tiny little barn. He wants to ask this. Without stating the obvious, clapping when the plane touches down, what's the most annoying thing someone can do on an airplane? Bagged Milk, I'll let you go first.
This is a tough one because there's so many
things. He's going to have a bunch. This guy spent half his life on an airplane.
There's so many things that annoy me on airplanes that it's just, how much time do we have? One, is your baby crying and you do nothing about it? Like, babies are going to cry, understood. I'm accepting of that. But if there's also parents that they just let their toddlers cry and scream and kick the chair in front of them and don't really do anything about it, that's number one. Two, if you put your fucking bare feet on my chair, I'm going to have a real problem with it. Three, I had another thing that I wanted to say. I don't remember. Oh, yeah. If I'm in the aisle or middle and someone near the window, this doesn't happen very often, is getting up constantly in and out, in and out. I just want to swap you seats. I want to sit next to the window because I get up never. Four, when they don't have any kind of like beverages or anything for purchase. I know some short flights, that's the case, and that's fine if it's a short one. But there's other ones where you fly across 3-4 hours and they're like, no, we're not doing any beverage service or anything. That annoys me. Five, when your fucking flights get changed for no reason, then you have to deal with a bunch of angry people sitting on the plane just waiting to get anywhere. I could keep going, but I'll let you guys go. There's so many things that I'm looking at.
Liam?
Yeah, I think we're covered.
When your stuff is up in the overhead bin and somebody starts smashing their bag into it and you know it's ramming your bag up there, bro, my laptop's in there. Figure it out.
I will say, when people don't understand the room of a seat, like when like they kind of like, you know,
where the borders are.
Yeah, like your arms are a bit over, your foot's kind of like a little bit over too. It's like, no, man, like these seats they're fine for everyone. Like, we can fit perfectly in these seats. So I'll say, not understanding your space, I guess.
Rick?
Delays in the plane. So I don't really care too much about the people around me. I get some of the people to stand up because being a taller guy with long limbs, it sucks to sit down for that long. So as soon as we touch around, I like to stand up for a second. I'll sit back down again, but I need to stretch the body out. No, it's being on the plane and just having to sit there and sit there and sit there and then sit there and then sit there some more. Yeah, that's, I can't have that. I'm not a very patient person. Let's get the thing going here.
Dan?
For me, it's a few things. It's the people that queue outside of the gate waiting for, you know, when you've got your gate or your level one and your level two and your level three, and then everybody is in level four, but all the people that I like to call gate lice. There's the I don't like the people, sorry Rick, the people that stand up at the end of the flight and then they proceed to like unpack as if we're ready to depart.
Nor yet. No unpacking, but like stand up, stretch out again. I'll sit down again, but I absolutely stand up stretcher, man. It's
the people that
like this for this long.
That go into the bins and then they're pulling out their bags and they're ready to go as if the gates are open, but we all know the gate is not open right away because that's not how airplanes work. For me, it's also the people that can't clean up after yourself. You're walking down the plane and you're leaving the plane and you know that we've just been in this plane. There's 200 of us packed in here like sardines and you had to leave your ripped up into tiny little shreds packet of almonds or whatever on the plane. It's just nonsense. So there's a lot of things with flights. Yes, Bagmill.
Another one. Just to add on Dan's thing. So when people stand up, when the plane leaves or lands, I should say, it's one thing to stand up. I'm cool with that. But then if you have assholes from back in the plane that try to rush forward and beat the line, I will get murderous rage just staring at you.
I'll just stand in the middle. Then if I see someone trying to creep up the aisle like that, I'll happily stand in the middle.
Yeah, that was going to be mine, Bag Milk. I got no problem if you want to stand up.
Notice them behind me.
Yeah, and if you're the one who's trying to jump ahead a few rows to get off the plane, like, you're not more important than anyone. That was going to be my answer. Second question we got. Shout out to Christopher Palmer for that first one. This one comes in from Blake, who says, how can the NHL fix offside reviews, Dan?
Oh, it's tough, but I think that I always bring this one up. The NBA solved their issues by creating a review center or a replay center where they actually had referees that were watching the game actively from, you know, Toronto. It's in New Jersey, but the NHL version would of course be in Toronto. And those are actually referees that could signal down to the referees on the ice and kind of give them the idea that they should come and look at stuff. I think that we need to be providing the referees with more tools to help them. And then that way these quick reviews are not, or these reviews are just not as big of an issue. But I think creating a replay center where you had a review that was off the, or an official that was off the ice that referees could confer with and actually would have already seen some of the replays ahead of time would help it.
Rick, what do you think?
Regular speed. Watch it on regular speed, and if you can see it, cool. If you can't, all right, move on. Simple.
I don't hate that one. Liam.
In soccer, they have this one where it kind of turns into a bit of a cartoon kind of thing, and you have a pretty good detail, and it goes like above, and you can actually like see where the ball is hypothetically in this scenario. And like, for example, I'm just thinking of the Leon example. If they had a view that was like above Leon, you'd be able to see where the puck is perfectly instead of zooming in, and pretty much assuming that he didn't have it under control, right? I feel like if they could advance the technology to that stage, like tennis has been doing it for a long time. Very different sport because there's not as much movement within the court, I guess you could say. But I think that's a way to do it, is just upgrade the technology to help these officials. Also just change the rules completely and make it so when the puck goes in, then the feet come in. It's simple.
Yeah, I think they should just eliminate the idea of possession mattering. It should just be your feet. One of your feet needs to go in after the puck, and then you're good. And then it's not a problem. Bag Milk, what do you think?
I say make them do the reviews on smaller iPads.
Well, I mean, Connor did say that this came from the league, not their officials. He did say, talk to the linesman, and he said, hey, it was on us, it came from the league. So I'd like to hope that they're watching on something bigger than the iPad I'm talking to you on right now.
Make them review it on the Jumbotron.
It's on your Apple Watch.
Smaller iPads. I think that's important. But for real, though, I think that real speed, I like that. Give them a time limit.
That too.
I don't think that we should be sitting there for 15 minutes. And to Connor's point, if you have to wait that long to try and figure it out because you're zooming in so far that you've got one pixel that seems to be offside, then chances are it really doesn't matter. I mean, last night, the goal he scored against Detroit, could you not argue that might have been offside? What's the possession rule on that one? You know what I mean? So just speed it up. Time limit, full speed, not frame by frame.
They could also do a fan vote within the arena. The loudest section determines if it was a goal or not.
Do a wave.
America's funniest home here. Now everybody reach into the front of your seat and grab your voting receptacle.
Yeah, I agree. I think Rick and BM kind of hit on this, but like, give me, you get three looks at it from the side angle, three looks at it from the top angle at real time. If you can't determine from that it's offside or not, then the call on the ice stands. Like, we shouldn't be trying this hard to take goals away.
Go back to OG NFL then, because if you remember the NFL, they got in that little fucking, that little booth thing by himself. Yeah. And then after 2 minutes, it just turned off. And it was what it was. Like, what did you figure out? Because that's what it is. It's over now. Move on.
I would just stay in there, Rick. I would stay in after the 2 minutes. Just, I'm thinking about it. Off. Leave me alone.
It turns off, and it wasn't really inside anything. It was this little, it was like a video game or arcade game. You kind of stood there and look in, and 2 minutes, screen goes black. What do you know?
The whole thing's so annoying because it all stemmed from the Matt Duchene goal a bunch of years ago where he
and if you play that at full speed, you're going to see that offside.
If you play that at full speed, you'll be like, oh shit, that guy was 12 feet offside. That shouldn't have counted.
Line's been ever getting in trouble, by the way.
Probably not. He's probably reffing in the cup finals the next year.
All right. Shout out to Blake for that one. Last one comes in from Kevin, who wants to know your dream sports destination. Liam?
My dream sports destination would be the World Cup final with England lifting a trophy. I don't know if it'll ever happen. I don't know where it'll be, but I will be there, maybe, if I can afford it.
Rick?
Wherever the Oilers are when they win the cup.
Okie dokie. So maybe Edmonton. Dan?
I've always wanted to go and see an Aussie Rules football game in Australia with like the full spectacle, the biggest ones, you know?
Yeah, they're fun. I got to go see one when I was down there, and they're great. They're great. And a lot of the nice part about it, the one I went to, if they found out, like they found out that my buddy and I were Canadian and we obviously didn't know the rules of what the fuck we were watching, the two guys behind us not only bought us beers, but really patiently explained all the rules of Aussie Rules to us. And just, we had the best time as a result.
Right.
BM, you're up next.
Oh, this is easy. Without question, the best sporting event on earth that I really want to go to is a darts championship in Europe.
With a 16-year-old world champion?
I don't know if you've ever seen darts highlights from when it's really going bananas in there, but that place seems electric. I know I've sent Tyler some TikToks of when people do like a perfect 9 dart and out and the place goes bananas. I would love to be sitting in there watching that happen. It just seems so much fun.
Agreed. Mine is going to be Augusta for the Masters. It's one of those things where like, I'm pretty sure I'll never get a chance to do it just because it's so hard to get to, but I would love to go watch the Masters in person. I would love to really see any golf major in person, but to get to do Augusta it's without a doubt top of the list for me.
A last day on the Ryder Cup would be sick too.
That'd be dope.
Europe though, not the US.
What's the one where I get to throw beers at the golfers? I want to go there too.
Waste Management.
Waste Management Open.
And in Scottsdale, that one is.
Do you feel at all you'd be let down a bit just because watching on television is such great views of everything? And if you were there, and let me just go back, like say Tiger Woods at Augusta in the early 2000s, there's a trillion fucking people going from one hole to the other hole. I don't know what the fuck you get to see. So if you're gonna do that, you want to be inside the rope, because otherwise, it'd be cool to be there, but I'm not so sure you're gonna see shit.
Yeah, but here's like Rick, I agree. Like if you went every single year, by the end you'd be like, I just want to watch this thing on TV. The first time and probably the only time you get to go, I think you'd be so swept up in the whole thing and getting to see different golfers and walk the course that you'd love it.
Counterpoint.
100%. But if the final came down to something that was dope to watch on TV, like if the Tiger shot on 16 and the way the golf ball style and you were like on 14 or something, or you were late and you couldn't see it, I think there'd be a little bit of a maybe regret. You're going to love being there.
Yeah.
But they're going to be like, fuck, I wish I saw that live.
What were you going to say, BM?
No, that's just too much walking.
Oh. All right. We're going to wrap
the rope. Then we're talking.
We're going to wrap up the show with Hot and Cold Performers. It is brought to you by Greta, your go-to pre- and post-game spot downtown Edmonton. Go-to spot to watch the game as well. Hit them up. They got games so that you can sit during the intermission and always be entertained. Also, double sponsor alert. Pew, 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 pew. This segment is not only brought to you by Greta, it's also brought to you by our friends over at Backside Tours. I think most of us have been on one of their trips down to Calgary to watch a BOA. They are an absolute blast. When you book through Backside Tours, you get your game ticket. You get one night in downtown Calgary, your hotel stay is taken care of, and you get transportation in a luxury motor coach to and from Calgary with your pickup in either Edmonton or Red Deer. They are doing it for next Saturday's game between Edmonton and Calgary. If you want to get in, you need to buy before Sunday, January 14th. That is like 48 hours away. So you got to get in. It starts at $299 per person. So that is a good deal when you consider transportation, hotel, and tickets to the game. And guess what? Oodle Noodle is helping us out. We are giving away 2 passes to get on this trip on our socials. So keep it locked on our Instagram to find out how you could win your way into their latest Calgary hockey road trip. You know what? Gentlemen, I'm making a bit of an executive decision here. We have all dealt with a lot of sadness and heartbreak over the last 24 hours. So we're going to skip cult performers. We are going to focus on the positives in our life to end this week's edition of the pod. Dan, you can go first. Also, bag milk, do you have buttons?
Yeah, hang on.
Let's see if they work.
Hang on. Okay.
Couldn't text this in or bring it up before the show. I like it. Just drops it right beside.
Yeah. It's all good. I got you, Tyler. I'm going to do 2 hot performers just because we're flipping the script here. First hot performer is going to go to the listeners that reached out. Thank you very much for the kind messages that I received over the last week. Thanks to my cold performer from last week. And then my other hot performer is just Gene Principe. Man, I don't know. Like, there's just something about that guy. Every week he makes me smile. I enjoy having him on the broadcast. Love having him be a part of Edmonton Oilers hockey. So Gene Principe, you get my hot performer of the week.
Yeah. Shout out to Brooke, who I know emailed me. Brooke, I know I didn't get back to you. I wanted to forward it off to Dan to give him a chance to respond, but I loved reading your email and I love that you did what you did there. Rick, your hot performer of the week.
The Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, why?
Yeah, we're not gonna pick out one player. This is a team win, team lose situation. The team is on fire. They're kind of back to where we thought they would be. They have been for a while. They're carrying it. Every time that the better they play, the better our lives are. So let's just give it to the whole damn team.
So you've come to the master for guidance.
Bag of milk, I'll let you go next.
You know what? I'm going to go back to our man, Bronte. I just, you know, it was really nice to see how much support and love that he got yesterday. Gregor wrote a really, really nice piece about him yesterday on OilersNation.com. That article went everywhere. It was being retweeted by literally any kind of media person you could think of. So I'm going to give my hot performer to Bronte, Ruben Bronte. And if you haven't heard the story about why we call him Ruben Bronte, go check out Gregor's article because it really is hilarious. And I'm glad that nickname stuck with him. And yeah, big shout out to Robin.
Oh, it's a crowd applause. Liam, your hot performer.
This is one I forgot to give last week, but I'm going to give my hot performer to a gentleman called Derek Thomas, who listens to our podcast. He said he's a big fan of it. I met him at the wedding I went to over the Christmas break, and he pulled me aside and said he really liked listening to the podcast and couldn't believe I didn't have any bananas on my table. So I pulled up my pants leg and I was wearing my banana socks, and he got a real kick out of that one. So shout out Derek Thomas.
Let's go, baby.
I got a couple. One, the fact it's NFL Super Wildcard Weekend, one of my favorite sporting weekends of the year. Hell yeah, go Bills. Also, I got an Apple TV, Apple TV subscription. I finally figured out how to set it up. There are 3 shows on there that I binged over the last 10 days that are unreal. The Morning Show, Shrinking, and then Severance is like a really weird psychological show. Those 3 shows, if you need something to do this weekend, they got my recommendation. They're my hot performers of the week.
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Hey, is today Connor McDavid's birthday?
Yes. Tomorrow.
Oh.
Oh, you saw the tweet then?
I just saw. I'm assuming it was Wanya who sent it. Anyways, okay. Happy early birthday, Connor. All right, guys. Big shout out to you 4 for hopping on and doing the pod remotely today and managing to get this thing done despite the weather being absolutely dog shit. And a big shout out to everyone who's reached out and offered their support with the passing of our pal, Robin Brownlee. We are going to end on that as the final note for this week's podcast. This one was for Robin.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.